Man has been busy building a safe but powerless church raised on the ingenuity of people rather than the power of God. They believe that the power of God somehow drives people away rather than attracting them. The goal is not to really attract people or drive them away, but to change them. Say it's about change. Because the supernatural is viewed suspiciously, the focus is on controlling instead of cooperating with the Spirit of God. Let me put it to you plainly, you don't have to have a Spirit-filled supernatural church to put American rear ends in the seats in church. But you need Him if you want to transform those who are sitting in those seats. And so we have massive amounts of churches around the country that have people, but they're not being transformed. Let me explain to you this way. Churches are powerless when people come in laden with sin and feel no conviction or have no desire to change. Churches are powerless when they measure themselves by anything other than the transformation of their people. Not numbers, not how many people there, how many family units you have, how big the offering is. Are they being changed? Churches are powerless when people have no interest in tapping into their redemption beyond forgiveness. It starts with forgiveness, but our redemption includes deliverance from sickness and disease and poverty. How many want everything He died to give you? Well, a lot of people are satisfied to be forgiven and go to heaven one day and just kind of hang out until Jesus comes or they die. There's a whole lot more to redemption than being forgiven. Churches are powerless when they like the contemporary praise and worship, but they reject the gifts of the Spirit. Churches are powerless when they are more concerned about being socially or culturally acceptable than what is biblically mandated. How many here are committed to what is biblically mandated? The church should manifest God's wisdom, but also His power. Listen to these scriptures in Matthew 13, 54. Coming to His hometown, He began teaching the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. Where did this man get such wisdom and these miraculous powers? In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how He went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with Him. Paul said this in Romans 14, verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 4:20 says this, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. Shout that out. The kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. It's interesting that so many of what Dr. Barclay calls placebo churches, they have a form of godliness, but there's nothing happening. They all have something in common. They don't refer them to sermons or messages or preaching. They're talks. The church needs more than a TED talk if it's going to be supernatural. Can I have a better amen than that? In 2 Timothy 3:5, the Bible says, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. It says, from such people turn away. In other words, he's referring to evil in the last days, and one of the evils in the last days is turning from the power of God. You say, what does he say to Timothy further? For God has not given us a spirit of what? Fear, but of what? Power, and of love, and of a sound mind, 2 Timothy 1:7. And then in Mark 16:20, the Bible tells us, it's not just for the Timothys and for the Pauls or for the apostles. It says, listen, and the disciples went everywhere and preached, and the Lord worked through them, confirming what they said by many miraculous signs. No, not the original apostles, not, you know, people who are described as supernatural gifts, you know, to the church. They're one in a million, are very special in terms of, you know, God's got a special touch on life. No, disciples preached and Jesus confirmed the word with signs following. Look at your neighbor and smile and ask them, are you a disciple? Then there should be preaching and there should be what? Signs following. What do you mean by supernatural? Well, it means beyond and above the natural, exceeding the powers of the laws of nature. It means to have, in fact, miraculous. Supernatural events or miracles can be produced only by the immediate agency of divine power. That means without cooperating with the Spirit of God, you won't see a supernatural church. All you'll see are natural people doing the best they can with the best they have. But God wants more for that. Listen carefully. You might say, you know what? I've never raised the dead. I never cast out a devil. But listen carefully. The Spirit inside of you today has cast out devils and raised the dead. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. And if that's the truth and He is still alive, then any believer who learns to cooperate with the Holy Ghost can see those same signs and wonders happen. People erroneously say, well, there's no longer miracles. There's a day of miracles and it's past. You know, God used miracles just to prove the divinity of Jesus and blah, blah, blah. The reality is the Holy Spirit was the worker of the miracles, not the men, not the apostles. And He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And listen to me again. If that same Spirit's on the inside of you, then He can do the same things He did in the days of old. Amen? It's not what you can do. It's what the Spirit of God can do through you. Everybody say, thank God for the Holy Ghost. I don't know about you, but you know, I grew up not hearing about the things of the Spirit of God. And then one day the blinders were off and I'll never go back to placebo living. I'll never go back to trying to do this without the Holy Ghost. I want to see God's miracle signs and wonders in the end day. I don't want to see Him proven to be divine. He already is divine. The nature of God is to do miracles and to heal people and to deliver them. That's His nature. Well, if you have that happen, it'll scare people away. Well, in Acts chapter 5, it did kind of scare people away. It says none dared join them. And it says that the church began to continue to grow. Why? Because some were intimidated, but others were drawn to the power of God and the reality of transformation they actually saw. Somebody asks you, what is the vision of Hope Harbor Church? To be a supernatural New Testament church. Preaching the gospel, teaching the word, and watching Him move without apology. For too long, man has tried to control things. And yes, just like Busch Stadium, you don't have to have the Holy Ghost to draw a crowd. In their heyday, 47,000 people. I drove there one day after seeing somebody in the hospital in St. Louis. They were having bypass surgery. I thought, the Cubs are in town. That's an opportunity for me to make fun of them. Yes, amen. And so I said, well, I'll just go over to the stadium, you know, and maybe I can actually get in, you know. In the middle of the day, there was standing room only in that place. So I bought a standing room only ticket and sat there for a couple, you know, stood there for a couple of innings and took it in. It was wonderful. And boy, they were cheering. There were Cub fans and there were St. Louis fans and they're having a great time. And all of them were cheering, amen. And there was a spirit there, but it wouldn't come from the Holy Ghost. It was coming from the beer salesman. Beer. Ice cold beer. But I noticed something. They're all wearing the same colors of their favorite team. They're having a great time. But there's not a single person who walked out of that stadium changed. Not one. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? That's what you have in America today. You have a stadium, draw them in, attract them. But God's purpose is to change people. Transform them. Romans 8:11 says this, that if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of the Spirit who lives in you. Say a good amen today.
Amen.
Again, you may say, I've never raised the dead or cast out devils or seen somebody heal when I lay hands on them, but the Spirit inside of you has. He does it all the time. Say it with me boldly. Confess it. He's going to do it in me and through me. If you're going to tell me that God doesn't do miracles, it's too late. I'm in the Hines family. We've seen too many of them. Amen? Beth, my daughter-in-law, my, not daughter-in-law, my sister-in-law. I have one daughter-in-law. Married to my brother James, she says she gets asked all the time, "If are you part of that Hines family, the Hines family?" And she says, well, marrying James, I was lucky, but not that lucky. That's the truth. But we have seen a few things. Are you here today? And you have seen a few things, too much to deny it is real. So what kind of church is He calling us to be? You might want to write this down. First of all, church where supernatural life change takes place. When the Spirit of God came on what was to be King Saul in 1 Samuel, he was literally told he'll be changed into a different person. You can always tell the Holy Spirit is loosed and alive in a church because people change. You can see some people go to church all their lives and they're the same 20, 30, 40 years. If you're not being changed, something is wrong. Are you here today, church? 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us it's all about transformation. Any man to be in Christ, he is what? A new creation, a species that never existed before. Change, transformation. That's what he's looking for. Number two, it's a church where the supernatural miracles take place. Psalm 77:14 says, our God is a God of miracles. He does wonders. How many of you are still doing wonders today?
Yes, he is.
The mark of the New Testament church is not services. It's not potlucks. It's not classes. The mark of the New Testament church is the miraculous. Say it with me. The mark of the New Testament church is the miraculous. You say, why talk about those things? If God wants to do a miracle, he'll do a miracle. Let me enlighten you about the connection between preaching and teaching and what manifests in and through a child of God or a church of God. If you don't preach it, it won't happen. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In other words, you get what you preach, you get what you teach. And if you don't preach and teach miracles, you won't see them. Today, there's a strong witness out there using their platform and their mouth to say God doesn't do this anymore. And I want to be kind when I say this. At the same time, I want to be blunt. They're lying to people. A church where supernatural miracles takes place. Number three, a church where a supernatural prosperity takes place. God is interested to this day to well-being in every area of your life. 3 John 2 says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health as what? As your soul prospers. It starts with your soul prospering. And when people hear that word prosper, all they see are dollar signs and clanging coins and money and stocks and buildings. And that's part of it. But it starts with you being spiritually prosperous. God is interested in you being mentally prosperous. Smile at somebody and say, you should go for that. Yes, you should. He wants you to be emotionally prosperous. That means you feel things, but they don't run you. The person, I don't care how long you've been saved, that feels things and those emotions run their decisions, their life, their household. You control people with your emotions. You're not prospering in your emotions. God wants you to prosper relationally. How many of you know every person in who is married knows there are challenges in marriage? But God, through his ability to prosper you supernaturally, can cause you to have heaven on earth instead of hell on earth. Ain't that right, Wes and Rita? Bless God. Amen. Hallelujah. Newlies. He's able to prosper you in terms of your physical body. Don't let anybody ever tell you that he doesn't heal anymore. He's a restorer.
Yes, he is.
He's a healer. He loves you. That's why he does what he does. And yes, he wants to prosper you in the financial realm as well. And if you don't want to accept what he does here, you reject what John said, you try to explain it away, that's between you and God. But ultimately, don't try to tell somebody else they can't believe God for a supernatural church. Amen. Supernatural change. Amen. Supernatural miracles and supernatural biblical prosperity. You can just simply reject it yourself, but you have no right to reject it for somebody else. Work out your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. Do I have anybody here who wants to sign up for a supernatural church?
Yeah.
Amen. Let me ask you again. You want to sign up for a supernatural church?
Yeah.
You know how placebo works, the placebo effect that has the image of being a medicine or a therapy, but in reality, there's no punch to it. You've probably seen these videos where they put somebody's hands on a table like this, and then they put their hand across a little divider or barrier, and they put a false hand or a rubber hand here, and they take that false hand and they slam it with a hammer, and invariably what happens? They jerk because there's a connection there mentally. There is a mental connection to it, but there's no transformation by it. That's how it works when you have a form of godliness, but you deny the power thereof. We don't need the power of the Spirit less. We need Him more than ever in this nation. Have you noticed that people are goofy? They're kooky. They're flaky. No matter what state you live in or where you go, this is the way it is. You say, well, people will think I'm weird, you know, if I actually believe in the supernatural power of God to change and do miracles and to prosper. That's okay. Let me help you in on a little secret here. They already think you're strange. So why don't you go ahead and give them some proof, living proof, that you are. How do you build a supernatural church as we turn the corner today here? Well, first of all, it comes through Spirit-baptized empowerment. Everybody in this church needs to seek and receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit without compromise. And then don't put a cork on it. There are corked up Spirit-filled believers all over the countryside hiding out in ministries that absolutely oppose these things, and you're corked up. It's time to take the cork out of your bottle. Look at somebody and smile and say, it's time to take the cork out of your bottle. Well, I don't know if I want to come out like that. Everything else has come out. Number two, Spirit-infused prayer. There's never been a day today like you need to have prayer as a foundation for the move of God. I think it was Jerry Falwell who said spectacularly, he said, nothing extraordinary happens without prayer. Nothing. Number three, spirit birth desire. If you don't desire the supernatural and the things of God, it's just not going to happen. You need to have a desire for the things of God. Number four, a spirit-inspired expectation. Not just desire, but expect these things to happen. Expect that God will use you. Expect that God will use this church. Expect that God will visit this church like He's never visited in our entire history. Can you see God doing more here, not less? Can you see God pouring out His glory here? His manifest presence and power and goodness. Expectation. You've seen people who've gone to healing meetings, whether it's Oral Roberts or Benny Hinn or Catherine Kuhlman. You've heard how the power of God will move, and they all gather in a location, and there's expectation there. And what happens? God meets them at their point of expectation. So many times we gather as churches, typically normal church services throughout the country, and our expectation is low. Well, there's a church service. There'll be some songs, a prayer, an offering, a message, a ditty, and we'll go home. You get what you expect. If all you expected was a ditty, well, then you got one. Be thankful for it. But you need to expect the move of God. Can have an amen. Amen. Number five, spirit-motivated yielding. When it begins to move, you're going to have to yield. Look at somebody and smile and say, you're going to have to get your big old flesh out of the way. And let Him do what He wants to do in your life. You know, my dad left us 3 years ago to move on to heaven. And in that funeral, somebody gave a plant. I can't remember who it was. And that plant has been in my office for 3 years. And do you know, 3 years now, that plant has not grown one iota. None. And I got to looking at that plant the past couple of days, and I said, why haven't you grown? And be careful when you talk to things, because they'll talk back to you. And the plant said, because you never gave me a bigger container. One of the things I'm going to do next week is get a bigger container. And that's what we're talking about. Enlarging your capacity to receive and expect and yield. Be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Look, we need to understand the container must be enlarged. Our empowerment must be enlarged. Our prayer, our desire, our expectation, and our yielding if we want to see a supernatural church grow. I'm very thankful for the Holy Ghost. And after having both parents now go home to be with the Lord, I have a greater appreciation for the truth of Scripture that when we are weak, He is strong. It's very real, the power of God. Amen. To do the extraordinary, but also to do what is common. And there were certain times in my life, and I haven't even talked about this because this was an overwhelming thing. And I thought, well, you know, you're prompting me to say this, so I will in this context. I found my mom, personally found her in a state of departure. I found her body. And I thought, this is just hard to see. This is just hard to deal with. This is the person that gave me birth, that raised our family. I could go on and on and on about how precious she is to all of us and how she just, to the nth degree, went the extra mile for us. And there she is. And in my spirit for several weeks, I kind of felt like that's the way it's going to be. And so I just said, you know, Lord, I just roll this over on you. Whatever needs to be done, you know, I know that you'll enable me to do it. You'll enable my siblings to do it. Everything will be done according to you. And if you're here for the funeral, didn't my brothers and sisters do a wonderful job just honoring Mom and Dad and Timothy, doing a wonderful job? But that night, I went to sleep, and I had what I would call on my right hand the number of spiritual dreams that I had. And I didn't see my dad, and I didn't see my mom, but Keith Moore, of all people, appeared in my dream. And I was like standing in an altar some way, and he came up to me, and he gave me this huge hug, and he wouldn't let me go. And without words being said, two things were communicated. That I'm representing the comfort of the Holy Ghost in your life right now. So just receive that. And that was wonderful. Because I'm telling you, Keith Moore gives you a hug. It's a hug. It's not a little baby tap. And so for context, I don't know him, never met him. I receive his ministry and honor his legacy. I appreciate what he has to say. And I'm fed by that as many as you are. But I don't know him. This was not, oh, you know him, so there's a connection there. This was a supernatural thing. Everybody say supernatural. So he's just basically, there to communicate by the Spirit, the comfort of the Holy Ghost. How many know the Holy Ghost knows how to comfort you supernaturally when nothing else will happen? And that was exciting. But the second thing that was communicated by the Spirit as he was hugging on me was, I'm making an impartation in your life, and everything that's in Keith Moore's life and his legacy is entering your life. And I kind of got excited about that. So I don't believe that stuff. I do believe that stuff. I believe that he is wanting to do something in all of our lives that we've never seen before. Hallelujah. So I take it and I receive it to enlarge the capacity that we have to walk with God and do what he's called us to do. Everybody say, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, Pastor, can you pray that Keith Moore will appear to me? I don't determine that. Your dreams and your visions are between you and God. But I have been in this long enough to know the difference between pizza with anchovies and God trying to touch your heart. Amen? So how many can agree with me for supernatural comfort, but also for supernatural impartation? I receive it in Jesus' name. Amen? So what I want you to do is I want you just to bow your heads if you would. And lift a hand all over this congregation. And I pray for you right now. Those of you that have been filled with the Holy Spirit at some point in your life, that you would have a greater outpouring than ever before. You would have a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. 5 years, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, it doesn't matter. That you would have a fresh infilling of the Holy Ghost. And you that have never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, receive you the Holy Ghost now in Jesus' name. Lay hold of it now. Take it. It's yours. Acts chapter 2, 8, 9, and 10, and 19 show you God's desire to fill every single believer with the Holy Ghost and with the fire. Now begin to praise him right now all over this building. Come on, lift your voice and praise him. Praise him. Bless him. Thank you, my Father. Thank you, my Father. We bless you. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. You know where you really have the huge breakthroughs? Or when you You personally seek Him in your own time and pray in the Holy Ghost like you never have before, because we need it more than ever before.